Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of the Black and Gold Blitz. I'm Jeff Harbin, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And if you haven't listened to one of these shows yet, the Black and Gold Blitz, kind of going back to my roots where I used to cover all three Pittsburgh sports, I'm going to do just that. But if you're just a Steeler fan, stick with us. I always cover the Steelers first, finishing up with the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, as always, our shows are sponsored by Frank Walker Law, the best criminal defense attorney in Western Maryland. Check him out at frankwalkerlaw.com. Now let's get right into things. NFL season is kind of just starting to get ramped up again. You have that lull from the beginning of February where you have the Super Bowl has concluded, you have your champion, and then it just has this, there's this die-off. Now there have been some trades. Marcus Peters was a big trade. Alex Smith was a big trade. The Kansas City Chiefs have been very active so far. But until the new year starts, which is in early March, there's not much going on. But the biggest event during that time, in between the new year starting and the fact that the Super Bowl ended, is the NFL Scouting Combine. And that starts, if you're listening to this, on the 27th of February, today. Players start reporting. The on-field activities typically don't start until Friday. I think it's March 2nd. That's when you have the athletes actually running the 40-yard dash, all that stuff. I can't say I coined this phrase, but I heard it once. I can't remember who said it, but I loved it. And they called it the Underwear Olympics, because essentially you have these guys out there in their spandex, whether they're offensive linemen or whether they're wide receivers, and they're doing all the drills. And I've never understood why you would need to time, an offensive lineman sprinting 40 yards. That doesn't happen very often. But nonetheless, they go through all that. And a lot of questions that I get from the website, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook, is how much stock do I put into the NFL Scouting Combine? And to be honest with you, I put in stock, but not as much as others. And that may seem like a cop-out, but for instance, I'm giving an example. In 2017, going into the Scouting Combine, a lot of people said that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be interested in T.J. Watt. When I watched the film of Watt and kind of did some digging on his numbers, his sack numbers, I was kind of, I'm not sure if this kid's a first-round talent. I thought he was talented, comes from a great family, definitely has a work ethic, but is he a first-round player? Well, at the NFL Scouting Combine, he tested through the roof. And when you see that kind of athleticism, you know, whether it's his cone drill or his 40 or his vertical leap or even his bench press, you know, all those different tests that they do with these athletes, right then you kind of knew, okay, T.J. Watt might not be that atypical guaranteed first-round player, but his tangibles, not intangibles, because it's something you can see, his tangibles are mind-boggling. And so that's when I kind of said to myself, you know what, if they were to take Watt in the first round, I'd be okay with that, because even though he might not be that impact player that everyone wants right up from day one, he has a ton of athletic potential. Turns out T.J. Watt was a good pick. Now, on the flip side of this, you look at Bud Dupree. Prior to the that draft, I believe that was 2015, you had Bud Dupree test out of this world. Now, he came from Kentucky, didn't even have an outside linebacker coach. I don't even think he had a linebacker coach, and he was extremely raw. They drafted a project. Almost every expert thought he was going to be going to the Atlanta Falcons, well ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He fell. The Steelers drafted him based on his potential, and I got to say he hasn't really lived up to that potential just yet. So the NFL Combine can be both a tease and can also be telling. You really have to do the math. You have to look at the film. You have to look at what these players are successful in. For instance, a running back that runs really fast, straight line, 40-yard dash does not necessarily mean they're going to be a great running back. I'll give you one name, Dree Archer, period. Dree Archer was a blazer. I mean, that guy ran the 40, I want to say at 4.3, maybe just shy of that. And it just never amounted to anything. Every time he got contacted in the NFL, he just went to the ground. So in terms of the NFL Scouting Combine, it's something to watch. It's certainly something to talk about as these NFL teams. It gets leaked how, you know, certain players have met with certain teams. And the Steelers and every other NFL team will meet with a lot of players. I want to say that the number is over 50. So, yes, you'll see us write some of those that are released as to who these players met with and things like that. But at the same time, don't put too much credence into that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Since the NFL Combine is coming up, it's right now, if you're listening to this on the 27th or later, and so that's something to be excited about. But this kind of leads into the next topic, which is why I personally now hate the lead-up to the NFL Draft, whether it's 2018, whatever year it is, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately, I cannot stand how every single person that watches ESPN or watches the NFL Network or goes to ESPN.com and reads a couple articles thinks that they're all of a sudden an expert. I am not an expert at the NFL Draft. I do not study ridiculous amounts of film when I'm talking about the NFL Draft. What I do is I do watch film. I try to educate myself on the players that the Steelers are interested in, predominantly when they have their pre-draft visits. But what I really don't like is how every single fan who thinks they're an expert thinks that there's no possible way that this can happen or that can happen. There's never a situation, and I found this on our comment section of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, where people will say, you know what, I'm not a big fan of Lamar Jackson, but if the Steelers went after him in the first round, I'm going to trust the Steelers are going to make the right decision. No, we had an article run just today by Dan Seger of the website, and he thought that the Steelers should legitimately consider drafting Lamar Jackson as the quarterback of the future whenever Ben Roethlisberger retires, and you would have thought that he individually cursed out every single one of their mothers based on the fact that it's just his opinion. Anymore in the NFL, especially in the lead up to the draft, because some people hold that so sacred, they just can't agree to disagree. It's either their prospect, it's their way, or it's no way. And that's frustrating for me. I enjoy the NFL draft itself. I don't really think, other than actual football games, that's the most exciting time of the year. You're waiting. Now, it turned from you're watching the television to you're watching your Twitter feed. All of a sudden, pick gets leaked, and then boom, the news starts, and you start evaluating and analyzing, and that's a lot of fun. The lead-up isn't so much fun anymore, you know? I covered a mock draft. Every Monday, we do a mock draft Monday on the website. I found a four-round mock draft, which turned out to a three-round mock for the Pittsburgh Steelers because they don't have a fourth-round draft pick. And people were on Twitter just going nuts about how the article's trash. I didn't write the mock draft. I mean, I don't know if people are reading this stuff, but it's extremely frustrating. And that's why I now hate the lead up to the NFL draft. It's just not fun anymore. But nonetheless, there's more news other than the NFL draft going on. There's been some rumors circulating. We had the Martavis Bryant potential trade. The Steelers are listening to trade rumors. I don't think they're going to get rid of him. I don't think they're going to trade him because I don't think the compensation would ever be what the Steelers value Martavis Bryant. I don't think that's going to happen. What could happen, though, is the reports from the Miami Herald that Lawrence Timmons, former Steelers, 2007 first-round draft pick, Mike Tomlin's very first draft pick, the Law Dog, could be released by the Dolphins after just 1 year. And a lot of people were wondering, could Timmons come back to the Steelers? It's a burning question, and it's a legitimate question. With Ryan Shazier out, you would have a guy that knows the defense. He's certainly not as athletic. He's not even as fast and as athletic as he once was. This player's now going to be 32. You have him along Vince Williams. Those are two thumpers. Neither of them can really run sideline to sideline. If I'm the Steelers and I'm actually considering this move, it's strictly for depth, period. And it's got to be almost a bargain basement, bargain bin, whatever you want to call it, deal. I'm not giving Lawrence Timmons anywhere near above the vet minimum because he didn't show much in Miami last year, and he looked a step slow the year before that in Pittsburgh, and that's why the Steelers let him go. I think that Timmons could be a very good resource for the team. He might be a week one, week two player if they draft a player that's just not ready yet, but he's not the answer. I love Lawrence Timmons. He's always going to be a Steeler. I thought he's one of the great draft picks under Mike Tomlin. He really did pan out. He was very versatile, played outside linebacker and inside linebacker, but I just don't see him being the guy that this team needs right now. So Timmons is great. He's always going to be remembered as a Steeler. But if they bring him back, it better not be to start, because if it is, it's going to be issues from day one with that run defense and covering those tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. Offensive coordinators will have a field day with a Lawrence Timmons, Vince Williams linebacker duo in the middle of that 3-4 defense. Now, some other news besides the fact that some rumors are swirling is that the NFL salary cap has reportedly going to be even higher than projected. It was projected to go up about $10 million to $178 million. Now, some are saying it could go to $179 million or even higher. That's insane based on the fact that this is all generated from revenue of the NFL. It has to be negotiated between the NFLPA and the owners, but it's insane that they could go up even more than $10 million. It's also great news for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that has already, well, started the offseason over the projected cap. They redid some contracts. We're talking Stephon Tuitt. We're talking David DeCastro to free up some space. I think there's going to be a lot more contract maneuvering coming up. Look for Ben Roethlisberger to get a new deal. Look for some players to possibly be released once the new league year starts. So all that stuff's going to be happening. And the added $10 million could really help them bring in a potential free agent, sign someone like Le'Veon Bell, give them money to allocate towards their draft picks. It gives them a little bit of flexibility, something they did not have. They were right up against the cap, and that's not a good place to be. The Steelers, hey, they know what they're doing. Omar Khan, Kevin Colbert, they've maneuvered around this salary cap for a long time. I trust them, but it's good news to hear that the salary cap could be going up this year, even more so than early projections said. So, with all of that said, the last thing I want to talk about today is I'm updating my team needs. The Pittsburgh Steelers in the offseason, we always talk about team needs. What does the team need going into free agency? What does the team need going into the NFL draft? What does the team need going into training camp, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? For me, my first 1.0 team needs, I had inside linebacker at 1, safety at 2, wide receiver at 3, outside linebacker at 4, and nose tackle at 5. Now, a lot of people disagreed with me putting wide receiver at 3, and I justified that by saying with Eli Rogers coming off a torn ACL, there's no guarantee, regardless of what he says, that he'll be ready to go come training camp. Now, there's also no guarantee that Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Juju Smith-Schuster will all stay healthy throughout the season. So let's say you have an injury like Antonio Brown suffered against the Patriots, where he had to sit out the remainder of the regular season before coming back in the divisional round. If Eli Rogers is out of the equation, that leaves you with two reliable receivers. Most people would agree that they're not keen on Darius Heyward-Bey being an every down, everyday player. You have to have someone else. So that's why I had wide receivers so high. But a little bit of change coming up for the team needs 2.0. It hasn't even been published yet. I'm going to publish it probably midweek, towards the end of the week, as the scouting combine is getting underway. Excuse me. So I don't think anyone's going to disagree that inside linebacker and safety are going to stay 1 and 2 respectively until a free agent acquisition happens or the NFL draft occurs. So those two are always going to be 1 inside linebacker, 2 safety. Now, there is a little bit of change at 3. I had outside linebacker / defensive tackle. I'm kind of changing it up and moving it to an edge defensive lineman, and that's going in the number 3 spot. I do think the Steelers would benefit from having one of the more, you know, more of a 4-3 type defensive end player that they can utilize in their sub packages, maybe on those obvious passing downs, but this is their third team need, mind you. I don't think this is going to be a day 1 pick. You're talking maybe a day 2 pick or an early day 3 pick. I would move that edge defensive lineman up to 3, receiver just falls down 1 to 4, and at 5, I'll go with a nose tackle because, honestly, I don't think the team has that many needs, but if they did, maybe you would go after a nose tackle that's a little bit bigger, a little bit more stout than Javon Hargrave, and maybe someone that you could run. Think Daniel McCullough is just more athletic and better overall. So those are my team needs. 2.0, inside linebacker 1, safety 2, defensive lineman, defensive end, edge rusher at 3, wide receiver at 4, and nose tackle at 5. And there you have it. If you're just a Steeler fan, let's say you root for someone like the Yankees, or I don't know, you're a hockey fan, but you root for like the Minnesota Wild, well, this is your time to say see ya. And in which case, I'll say make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. But if you're like me, and you love everything black and gold, you like the Pirates, you like the Penguins, and you like the Steelers, if you're man enough or woman enough to actually admit that you like the Pirates, first thing I say is kudos to you, because it's not easy to root for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but we're not going to talk about the losers next. We're going to talk about the Penguins, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Boy, they've been active recently. The trade deadline was Monday, the February 26th, and they pulled off a couple big deals. They gave up a lot. Ian Cole got traded to Ottawa, and then Ottawa traded him to Columbus. So his time in Ottawa was, I think, less than 48 hours. I don't even think he got there before he was traded to Columbus. On top of Cole getting traded, Ryan Reeves goes to the Golden Knights out in Vegas. And all that stems from Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm still on Steelers, but the Penguins received Chris Bessard, the center from the Ottawa Senators, who was highly sought after by a lot of teams. And the Steelers were the ones that came away with it, thanks to those Vegas Golden Knights that kind of hopped in as the third team and met the NHL's standard, I guess, for the trade. It was reported the trade was done, and the NHL nixed it and said it wasn't good enough. You need to go back and configure some things. They did. I tell you what, this Penguins offense is now a lot better with Brassard as a third center. And think about their centermen that they have on this team now with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Brassard. It's tremendous, not to mention they have some flexibility there as well. A great pickup. They did pick up a center today right before the deadline from the Carolina Hurricanes. I did not get that player's name written down, but that's a team that, for me, kind of going back to the Steelers a little bit, the NFL trade deadline, although more active this year than normal, I kind of wish it was exciting like this. The NBA trade line is very similar, where when things are about to go down, boy, it's incredible. Wheeling and dealing, and that's just not football. But at the same time, the NHL, they make a living off this day, and it was tremendous to see the Penguins make some moves and improve their team. Yes, they had to give up a lot. GM Jim Rutherford said that, but at the same time, they really like this team. They're not just happy with back-to-back Stanley Cups. They want a three-peat. And that would be tremendous. That would be really, really fun for all the Pittsburgh Penguin fans out there. And we'll see how it goes. They've been playing tremendous hockey. I think they've won at least 7 out of their last 10, if not more. They've won, I think the streak's at 11 straight home games, maybe. Just tremendous stuff. If you're a Penguins fan, they've turned around 180 degrees. It's been a lot of fun to watch. And so keep your eyes on the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's a lot of hockey left, but they're right there in the Metropolitan Division with the Capitals. The Blue Jackets and the Flyers are coming back. And we'll see what happens in the overall East, but that's a long ways away. Now switching gears to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates also have made some deals. Nothing really huge. They did pick up a Boston Red Sox outfielder that really wasn't of any note, but yeah, they did get Dickerson from the Tampa Bay Rays, who was an all-star last year, which should pique your interest a little bit if you're a Bucco fan. And on top of that, he plays left field. This is what they needed. They needed an everyday left fielder to match up with Starling Marte in center and Gregory Polanco in right. They were toying with Adam Frazier out there. I don't know. I'm not keen on Frazier doing anything but leading off and trying to hide him in the field, and left field at PNC Park is not a place to do that. So I honestly sent a text message to my buddy the other day, who's a bigger Pirate fan than I am. I just don't have the time to really focus on all their different, you know, the minor league system and players that could be coming up, Austin Meadow type, stuff like that. And I said, man, you've got to bring me down to earth. I'm kind of getting a feeling of optimism here after this Dickerson signing. And he did. He said, you know, the Pirates rotation is an issue. Their bullpen's an issue outside of Rivero in the back end as a closer. But you know what? I honestly think if I'm putting a win projection on the 162-game season that is the Pittsburgh Pirates 2018 season, I'm going to go as far as saying I can see the Pirates, if they stay healthy and they don't decide to sell the farm figuratively and literally midway through the season, I could see this team winning about, I would say, anywhere between 82 and 87 games. I think they could actually finish above 500. And remember, that's what if Nova pitches well, if Taillon stays healthy, you have all those guys in the back end. You're talking about Tyler Glasnow in the bullpen now instead of as a potential starter. Rivero, do they keep him or do they trade him for a King's bounty at the trade deadline for a team that's desperately needing a closer? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm not going to say really fun, but it's going to be interesting for Pirate fans everywhere. So If you are a Steeler fan and you listen through all of that, make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs, and make sure you follow us on iTunes by going to iTunes and just searching The Standard is the Standard. There you'll get our entire feed from The Standard is the Standard to The Black and Gold Blitz to the brand new shows like The Terrible Towel Cafe and The Men of Steel podcast. We're really trying to diversify our podcast here now at Behind the Steel Curtain. So make sure you check us there. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio by blogtalkradio.com/BTSC. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. I'll see you next time on The Black and Gold Blitz.